Okay, so have you all listened to the score? Have you all? Okay. There is an initial design and production meeting. That meeting involves all of the central players in producing the show. The director, the designers, and in this case we have several. We have the costume designer and the lighting designer, the scene designer, and a sound designer, because we're going to have an orchestra in this space, and the balance between the orchestra and the voices is going to be determined by that sound designer. We also have a stage manager. The stage manager is the person who coordinates all of the schedules of all of the people involved in the production, passes messages back and forth amongst the various people designing, building, costuming the production, and also is in charge of the production once it goes into performance. He or she, in this case, Jen Russo, will call the show. In other words, all the light cues, sound cues, all the entrances and exits of actors can be controlled by one person in the stage management booth, and that person is the stage manager. In addition, attending that opening production meeting are the costume shop manager, the technical director for this production. Those two people are responsible for shepherding the designs, both scenery and costumes, through the shops, seeing that the fabrics and the materials for the set get ordered in a timely manner, scheduling the work in the shop, scheduling what elements of the sets and costumes get built at what time, scheduling fittings for the actors so that the actors can come in and be fit into their costumes.
When I began my research, I knew that I wanted to do something that was timeless. I didn't want it to look like it was an actual historical representation of the 1920s or 1930s. And I also didn't want it to be strictly modern, because Brel's music in itself is very timeless. So when I started my research, I looked at both the historical designs from the 1930s, because I really thought that the style fit with the cabaret atmosphere that we're trying to go for in the show. And I looked at the dresses designed by Madeleine Vianney, bias cut during the 1930s, and also just photography from the time in Paris. And I knew I wanted something that was feminine, but not girly, and sexy without being really just overt. And just going with the feel of the music, soft, drapey, and just elegant. And for the men, the way I designed it was so that in one song they can have their jacket on, and then in the next song, to give a completely different look and different feel for the scene, they can take their jacket off and roll up their sleeves and just have, say, their button-down shirt on with the same pants, and they can have a completely new character on stage without a major costume change. And my idea was to actually dress the band the way that Jacques Brel himself used to dress. For the women, I also wanted to give them a lot of variation in their costumes without major costume changes, because it is a small show. So I designed a number of shawls that they can put on or take off for different songs, also some hats and some jackets and coats.
Also at that meeting are the advisors for the Advanced Undergraduate Training Program students. So as you can see, it's a fairly large body of people involved in the initial decision-making for any production in the Schwartz Center. The cast is expandable or contractible, depending on how many people. The typical topics that come up in a first production meeting include the director's idea for what the set should look like, what the costume should look like. The designers contribute their ideas.
So I thought it'd be cool if it is Brel's Theater, and then if it's Brel's Theater, this is just for fun, but impossible to do in our space, but it'd be cool if we could rip down the old big red grill and move it in here, and then
kind of the sexiness of it, and also, as I mentioned earlier, this kind of European feeling.
Various people discuss various limitations of the production. For example, there are fire rules in the theater, and various seating arrangements are not allowed by fire code, so the production manager, who also attends the original production meeting, is there to make sure that everything is possible within our time, space, and financial budgets, as well as the fact that we have certain code regulations that we must follow in producing any play. Other topics that might come up are from the publicity and marketing people. How best to market this play in our season brochure, and how best to market it to our single season tickets buyers. What's going to be of interest to both our student and adult audience. What's going to be interesting to students on the campus and to people from the Ithaca community, a large number of whom also attend our production. Every Monday at 4 o'clock, the production staff gets together and discusses all of the productions that are currently in process. And then on Friday, the Burrell people get together to talk about the progress of the Burrell production, what additional things may be needed, what things may be causing delays. And that way, the production keeps on track. Finally, after every rehearsal at night, the stage manager emails the entire production team for Burrell what occurred in rehearsal that night. If something new occurred, for example, about the staging of a song, or a different new prop is needed. Or, for example, if a character is going to move a certain way, the costume designer might need to know that the costume is going to be affected by that movement. All of this communication is central to keeping the production on track, to keeping everybody invested in the production, and to having a production process that is smooth and an opening night that is exciting and enervating for both the production team and the audience.